Well, I'd appreciate your prayers.
Amen.
I want to think about the subject of following Christ.
Amen, that's all right. Following,
following
Christ.
Christ.
No better person than following.
So, there's a lot said about it in the scriptures about following. The Lord come along, and if you remember in his ministry, he come and called disciples, and he come and said, follow me.
That's what he said, brother.
Come follow me. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that was literal.
Yes.
At the time, he was a literal person walking on the literal earth, and he wanted them to let loose of the things that they had. He called Matthew, I believe he was at Receded Customs. He was a man of that sort, of financial sort.
Mm-hmm.
I think he called some fishermen to leave their nets.
Did. Yes, he did.
And drop it and leave those things and come and follow me. I'm assuming that means when I go to Jerusalem, you go to Jerusalem. If I go over to Antioch, you go to Antioch, or wherever my footprints goes, your footprints goes. Let's go to Galilee. Let's go to the land of the Gadarenes. Let's wherever. Come follow me.
Yeah.
But to us, it means, of course, more than the literal idea of following it. It's now we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, we still put our foot in his footprints.
Yeah,
the desire that we have when we want to follow the Lord is the desire to be as he is, to be what he is. Oh, let this mind be in you, Philippians 3 says. It was also in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let this mind be in you, but let you think like he thinks. And pattern your life. Following the Lord means making a pattern of your life. The way the Lord did things is the way I want to do things too. We don't know that all the time. That's why we follow, though. It's the teaching time. It's coming on. What would the Lord do in these situations? Sometimes it's the big question. I want to do what the Lord did, but I'm not always sure what the Lord would do in the different situations. But I do find the Lord set a pattern for us that we can know. And I want to say tonight that I think that following the Lord is very important.
It is, brother.
Following Christ is utmost important.
Yes.
I mean, it is what it's about. We come to the Lord, but we got to follow the Lord.
Yes.
And the way, what the Lord wants us to follow. And there is going to be a great distraction. The devil's purpose is to distract us from our purpose of following Christ.
Right.
And he's going to play with our minds. He's going to play with our humanity. And he's going to do all these things to keep us from following Christ the way we want to. He interjects systems of religion so that we'll get hung up on following the system of religion. The multitudes have followed systems of religion without following Christ. The only system that we need is the gospel system that the Lord gave us so that it helps us to follow Christ.
Amen.
Men will insert themselves as the vicar of the Son of God. Like, you need somebody to follow an intermediate. No, I'm here to tell you, that's the wrong idea.
Yes.
We're to follow Christ. God gave gifts to men for one purpose.
Yes.
To edify people to follow Christ.
Amen.
He gave pastors and he gave evangelists, and he gave apostles, and he gave the gifts of the Spirit. He gave all these gifts, and he said they were all for a purpose. To edify people to follow Christ. We're not to follow a man. Paul even recognized that in his situation, that he was in a place of authority, and he had understanding, caught up to the third heaven, and he was in a position, and even he understood this to this point that he said, follow me. He didn't leave it there, did he? Follow me as I follow Christ. He was letting them know, don't go off on a tangent with me. When I know the Lord enough to know that if I take off on the side road, don't go with me. Don't take off on that side road. Every minister worth their salt points people to following Christ.
Amen.
We don't follow a system. We don't follow each other. We don't follow death. We follow Christ. Right. Everything but following Christ is a diversion to the soul. So we're here to proclaim this idea. It was over and over expounded. You remember there was a rich young ruler came to the Lord. You remember? We say rich young ruler. That's not the way the scripture said it. But there was a young man that came. He is wealthy. And he come to the Lord and he asked him, what must I do? Well, we know it's indifferent of the Gospels. But the whole thing ended up being that the man was rich.
Sure was.
He was rich.
Yeah, he was.
You know the riches was going to keep him from following the Lord?
That was right.
I mean, it was going to be a distraction. Jesus knew it was a distraction.
Yeah.
Jesus knows how to get somebody to heaven.
Uh-huh.
He knows how to fix their lives and deal with it. So he tells this man, he said, what do I lack?
Mm-hmm.
One thing they'll lack is, go sell what you got. Give it to the poor.
Yeah.
What'd he tell him? Take up your cross and do what?
Follow me.
Follow me. Go pick up your cross. You asked a question. I love this in one of the versions, in one of the Gospels, because it says, and he loved him.
Mm-hmm.
The expression, Jesus loves everybody. But that expression means that I am willing to impart. Jesus loved him, meaning I'm willing to impart to him.
Yes.
That's what we do when we love. We impart of ourselves. Jesus loved him, and he wasn't going to let him go without knowing what he needed. He loved him. He loves everybody. But the expression means to this young man, I'm going to give it what you want. He ain't going to want it. He ain't going to like it. It's going to be troublesome to him. But the Lord loved him. And he went above the feelings that the man was going to have and all that. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. Get rid of what you have, because what you have is going to hinder you from following Christ. That's your salvation. This is what you really need.
Yeah.
The world has looked and said in the human wisdom, instead of following the Lord and the gospel in its purity, man has looked at it and said, because it takes, I'm going to tell you, it takes sacrifice to follow the Lord. It takes a willingness to follow the Lord. It takes a giving up of the flesh. To follow the Lord is going to mean something.
Yeah.
There's a man came to the Lord and said, I'll follow you wherever so you go. I'm with you. I'm going to follow you whithersoever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes.
That's right.
The birds have nests.
That's right.
The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. I like that. That was a small little caption. It didn't say anymore. I think there's a given idea there. This man was fired up about, I'm going to do what? You see the Lord just turned some water to wine? What'd you see? You see the fishes explode into baskets? What are you following? Jesus laid it right to him. Son of Man doesn't have the kings of this world. I'll follow you wherever, sir, you go. Did he? I wonder if he did. The idea is that expression got that man.
Uh-huh.
Going to get his attention.
Yeah.
You want to follow the Lord?
Uh-huh.
It's going to cost something in this.
Yes.
Follow me.
Amen.
Take up your cross and follow me.
Yes.
Man has said, let's make a system to follow the Lord. You remember when on the Mount of Transfiguration, where the disciples looked at that and got confused.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at it and said, you know what we'll do? Oh, this was noble. This was honorable. God said, this is my Son, my beloved Son, my well-beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Follow Christ. Follow my Son. They looked at that and said, as men will, we got a noble and righteous idea. Let's make a temple to each one. They thought they were spiritual. They thought they was doing the right thing. Men do that. Do you know that's a huge diversion? I mean, honestly, of all the patriarchs, which one of them can save you? Can Elijah save you? What about Abraham? Can he save you? Which one of them can save you? Why was it that John said to his followers, they were following John. Why did John, there's somebody coming along that I can't even unloose his shoes. You're latched on to me. You're hooked on to me. You follow with John. John says, I'm preparing a way. I'm making a way. There's someone coming along. You're going to have to dislodge yourself from me. I'm not man enough for you. I'm not God enough for you. I can't save you. You're going to have to hook to somebody that can save you. Because John can't save you. John's just leading you to one that can save you. There's no temple to John. There don't need to be temples to the causes of this earth. We don't need to take out, Lord help us. We don't need to take out dogmas and doctrines and make them something to follow. Well, we follow this idea more than this idea, or we'll call ourselves this, or call ourselves this. We need to follow Christ.
Amen.
In all of this.
Yes.
And beyond that, it goes into the, to do I have to have, do I have to, do you have to have my approval to be saved? I mean, do you need to come to our congregation to be saved? I mean, do you need my counsel to be saved? No. And we don't want to get in a place like that. The truth is that we need to point people to follow Christ. I'm not about to try to tear down all the organizations. I just want them to know the truth. That organization ain't going to save you. And it's a pitiful try. You need to follow Christ. I knew a man one time that told me, he grew up as a religious man. And when he come around the church and started things, he was fascinated by it, and he was, he caused me a lot of trouble. I say trouble, but he really challenged me to higher things. But boy, he was a challenge. But he told me, he grew up, religious. He grew up in church. Mm-hmm. Well, he ends up telling me, he said, yeah, I grew up in church. The church I grew up in, mom and dad went to church. They went regularly. They gave the right amount of money. They sat in the right seats. They didn't say anything. They didn't sing. They didn't do anything. They went to, nobody did. This was the way they did it. And the guy in the row comes out at some point. You have the system. You open this. This is the way it's going to happen today. You do that, and at the end of it, somebody blesses you, and you've been blessed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, the world's full of diversions.
That's so.
To make people feel good about the situation that they're in of their souls. I need something for my soul. I know I need something for my soul. I want to tell you, follow Christ. You don't need Brother Marty to follow Christ. Follow Christ.
Amen.
It's the answer to it. And there's so many diversions out there. Brother Clint mentioned some of this, but I was thinking about I drove a lot in my life in the last I've been full-time in the gospel since 95, been traveling and many, many miles. I want to add them up sometime just to see how many miles I actually did travel. Because, I mean, it's been a lot of miles over those years. And one thing I know for sure is that if you get to looking off and you're going 75, and in Oklahoma now you can go 80 mile an hour legally in places. You're going 80 mile an hour. Do you know that 80 mile an hour when you first hit it seems fast? And you drive it for about an hour and it seems like that you need, why do they slow me down? Well, I need to go faster. I'm going to tell you, at 80 mile an hour, I look off to the side. When you look off to the side, you know they warn, some people still do it. Maybe I can be guilty of them too. But, you know, the phones and stuff are pretty important these days about things, and you can do certain things with them and all that. Do you know how long it takes? People have proved this. You know how long it takes to look down at one of these 80 miles an hour? You know what can happen in just that little bit. But more than that, when you look to the sides, you have a tendency to divert to ways of that, and the distraction, more wrecks and more things has happened to people because of a distraction.
That's right.
They're teaching you, teaching the driver's end, teaching on the driving. You need to be alert to you got a missile out there on the highway. It's going 80 miles an hour. You've got a lot of weight there. You can hurt people. You can hurt yourself. There's a lot of danger in that. You're going to have to be careful and caution. And you know, most beginning drivers feel that. They feel it. You drive enough, though, you can get very comfortable with all of that. And the stuff to the side and all to the side. And something can happen and you can divert your attention over. And many, many accidents happen because there is something that has got the attention off to the side of this. The devil is trying to cause us to get a diversion in our hearts and mind from following, truly, truly following Christ. Sometimes it is just a dissension among members. It's just a dissension. And instead of us focusing on following Christ, I need to follow Christ. It is. I get diverted from it. And I begin to take on my issues. I begin to defend my issues about it. The devil wins, folks. Yes. I may win the argument and lose the battle.
That's so.
Because I've not got my goal. Our goal. Mm-hmm. What is it? I had it there one time. It's in Isaiah. And it says, to set your face like a flint. There's more to that verse than that. But to set your face like a flint. Flint was hard. It's unmovable. And it means that I got my eyes set on the goal. And there's nothing that can move me off of that goal. And our goal is to follow. I don't always understand what the Lord wants. But my goal is to follow Christ in this. And sometimes we get in many places like this where people have got into a situation and they're going on with the situation. And they get diverted. And what I want to say is, if we'd all just stop and get our focus back, what are we supposed to be doing? Following Christ. Lord, help me to follow Christ through this place in my life. Help me to follow Christ. John 6, in about 67, if you remember the verse, there was his disciples. And Jesus had spoke these words. He had said that if you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and some of them was offended by the saying. So it's a hard saying. Who can hear it? And many of his disciples walked no more with him. They didn't follow him no more. They got diverted. Something diverted. And many of his disciples, the ones that had decided, I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to listen to what he's saying. They got diverted because the Lord had said something that they couldn't understand. They couldn't have it. Sometimes we don't understand. I get in places I don't understand. But he turns to his disciples. After many of them walk no more with him, and he says to them, will you go away also? They've left. They're all gone away because I said something here. Will you go away also? Peter spoke for all of them.
Yes, he did.
Where would we go?
Yes.
where are we going to go? I'm the words of eternal life. I have no place to go here.
Yes.
Where are we going to go if we're going to not? If we're going to go to heaven? What are we? Are we going to do it? We're going to follow Christ.
Yes.
He's able to keep us.
Yes.
He's able to bless us.
Yes.
I am totally comfortable in my life. Like I said, you don't have to go through any preachers. We are servants in truth.
Yes.
A minister.
Yes.
Is a servant.
Yes, that's right, brother.
People got it, the world got it wrong. They want to have this jet set idea that if I'm a preacher, I'm up here and I'm doing something up here. Jesus didn't teach it that way.
No, he
Jesus
didn't.
Taught that you're a servant to all.
That's so
you're the least. Get down there and serve. You get down there and serve. And what do you serve? You serve him Christ.
Amen.
You teach people to follow the Lord.
Yes.
You teach them to love one another. You
yes.
teach them that you don't need me. Only the gift that God gave me.
Yes.
This is what the Lord wants us to do, is follow him.
Yes.
So the Lord in these last days, I know I haven't read the scriptures yet, but the Lord right at the last, before the crucifixion, at the Last Supper. They had this, and it got them together. My mind, you can see the picture, some illustrations of it. But it got them all together. Mm-hmm. He sat down here, and he got a towel. Mm-hmm. And he girded himself with that towel, and he got a basin.
Yes.
The God of creation. He was there.
Yes.
Jesus, all things that was made by him and for him.
Amen.
The one that created it all.
Yes.
Came in the form of man and humbled himself and put a towel, girded himself with a towel, and he came, what? As mighty king? He came as servant to wash people's feet.
That's so.
And he gets down and washes his disciples' feet. And he done it for a reason. In my feeble thinking, you know what the reason is? I think he set something in them brethren, and they needed it too. Because you can read the Acts of the Bible. You can see that they needed it somewhere. I imagine there was times to where they needed to humble themselves, and the old pride wanted to jump out, and all that kind of stuff. And one looks at the other and says, "Brother, you washed my feet too. If I, your master, wash your feet." You ought to wash one another's feet.
Yes.
Want to follow Christ? Yes. It's not going to be some exaltation to where I get to be somebody that everybody looks up to. If I've got a gift that's worth honoring, then it can be honored. But that's not what it's for. God wants us to follow Him. He wants us to be ministers to that. And you know, honestly, I said recently at home, I don't understand this. I know it's a part of flesh. It just wasn't. It didn't get me a lot, but there's envy. There is envy. People envy.
Yeah,
it's one of the seven sins. It's one of the bad sins. I don't understand envy.
Yes.
You know why I don't understand envy? Because we're all hooked together. And the better you have it, the better I have it. And I told him up home, I said, at least, if I want to be selfish about this, if you can understand this, if I want to be selfish about this, at least I can say my duty as a brother to you is to take care of you if you're in need. So if you, the more you have, the less I'll have to help you. If you want to say it that way, how am I diminished by my brother's increase? I'm not and never have been. I am blessed by every brother that's been increased. I say God bless all of you.
Amen.
Really, really good.
Yes.
Went to, you all heard this, but I went to, after Brother Stanley Dixon built the new house, you know, in Guthrie, him and Sister Karen, they built the new house out there. Right after he had built that, it was a nice new home. It was really nice. And we got to go to Guthrie one time, and we got to stay with Brother Stanley and Sister Karen out there. It was really, really nice. They put us in a very nice new house and all this stuff. And I just took the attitude, well, the Lord said that if we done these forsake all these things that we could have of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and a hundredfold in this life and life eternal. And I just said, Lord built me another house. What a wonderful thing. I'm here in a brand new house. Brother Stanley was blessed with a brand new house, much more than I've ever had. Big house. And I just took it as my own. I said, thank you, Jesus, for having me another one of my hundredfold. I got a house out there that I can go and stay in. And be blessed by and all that. I don't have to pay the taxes or take the garbage out. Now, I mean, I'm blessed by this. How am I diminished by the increase of my brother or the people around me? I would take care of my neighbors. I would take what I had and feed my neighbors or take care of my neighbors. If my neighbors increase, I'll never have to do it. Why would I have envy towards the prosperity of people around me? God bless everybody.
Yes.
Till we all prosper and we all do it good. Follow Jesus.
Amen.
Follow Christ in your thinking about this. The world things, we push the world, we chase the world, we have to have this or do this, or we get upset with one thing or another. I often think, is that really what Jesus does? Lord, help me to have this mind in me that was in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That I can think in the patterns and the ways of the Lord and do those things. And sometimes we're so easy to want to cut somebody out of a situation so they're not living right. So they're not living up to the standards and they're not doing right or all of that. What's the best chance they have?
Right.
the best chance they have is to be right there listening to the gospel, having people loving them and reaching their hand out to them and saying, we love you, and give them an opportunity and chance through your good spirit and through what you have to say, I want that too. That's what spirit the Lord had.
That's right.
You remember another time where the disciples, they get all concerned about a group of people and said to the Lord, you want us to call down fire on them? I'm doing it in my own words. But do you want us to? We'll call down fire on them, Lord. Give us that. And the Lord said to them, he rebuked them. They don't think that way. Well, I'll just call fire down on them. I remember a guy up home one time, he made the comment. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, those guys up work, they've been, they're trouble and causing trouble and this stuff. And he said, they better be glad I'm not God. And I said, brother, I'm glad you're not God. Because I'm glad there's not a God like that. Because he'd have cut me off a long time ago. I've done too many things.
Right,
I want to say, Lord, have mercy on them people.
So.
I expect then maybe the Lord can have mercy on me and help me.
Yes.
Lord, help us that we would follow Christ and not be distracted. And that's why I want to talk a little bit more about being distracted over in Philippians 3. This is a expression of Paul. 3 and 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. If I may say, Paul wanted to follow Christ, but he was pulling a lot of baggage. It doesn't say this, would give me the liberty. Paul, before his conversion, caused people to be put to death. You think they had mothers, brothers, sisters, children? Of course they did.
Yes.
He even persecuted women and children.
Yes.
He was a rotten apple. A rotten character. You don't think that would have haunted him? I wonder if he ever thought about going into an area in a revival meeting or in a situation and he was going to stand up and he saw the face. Think it'd be possible that he could have seen the face of, you know, we want to think of it all, what do you say, pizzas and cream? And everybody loved Paul because Paul was a real man of God. You think so? And you think you had your loved one put to death and you think everybody likes that? You think everybody's got enough grace of God to handle that? Or maybe that you stand up in a place and you see a guy back there that you know that he's got a club waiting on you if he gets a chance to swing it at you. What are you going to do with all that? Paul has to make this expressive. I'm going to follow Christ.
Yes.
I'm going to follow Christ in my life. And what God would do, what Christ would do, it's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give it over to the Lord in these situations. I'm going to love Him. And I'm going to give all I can for Him. I'm going to try to make it better. He said forgetting.
Yes.
Forget. It has to be done, folks. Forget those things which are behind. I'm not saying where you need to repent. Repent. But I'm saying there's things that we're going to have to put behind us.
So.
I'm going to follow Christ. And I'm going to put that back. I'm not going to remember it. I'm going to put it back. Forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which that are before. He said, I press. Okay? I press towards the mark. I got a goal. I got a goal that I'm shooting for. And it's called Christ likeness. I want to know Him. I want to experience Christ. Some of you heard me tell this story, but don't take this lightly. Mm-hmm. I got to praying one time. Mm-hmm. Normal Christian prayer. Okay. Lord, I want to be more like You. Mm-hmm. You know, I say this often, but, you know, I think we go pray things like that, and in our minds, I want to be more like Christ. We see the glory. Yeah. I want to be more like Christ. I want people to know that I walk like Christ. I want to love everybody. I want it to be easy. I want to go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow more like Christ. I'll take a lightning bolt and thunder, but I want to be more like Christ, and I want it. That's the way I want it. The Lord don't work with people like that generally. Not saying he can do whatever he wants, but normally the process of God working in our lives is because he made us with a will. His process is he brings it to our understanding. When we understand it, then it's our duty to pray grace for it and to find it. And that's the way he generally works with us. Sometimes it's through pain and suffering. But he brings us to places where I say, I need more love. I need more grace. I need something here in my life. I never knew I was like this. I always looked at it and thought that I would be this and this. But the battle come and uncovered to me that I didn't know. But it uncovered me. And now I want the victory over that. So I'm praying, Lord, I want to be more like you. And I was sincere. I wanted to be more like the Lord. So we just got back from a meeting. Pull into the driveway. And the neighbor man was drunk. And he come over and he was very verbally abusive and started ranting about some sort of subject. And all the time that I'd lived there, his grandmother that lived over there, I can testify to you absolutely that she never called me one time in all that time and ever said that she had a need that I didn't go immediately across the street and help her. Every time. And I would have done anything. Well, the accusation that the man made was because his dog dug through my chain fence. He got into my chain, into my yard. It dug in and got some deer bones out of my yard where I got deer. And it took him back over, and his yard was full of deer bones. So he was hostile to me because his dog dug a hole under my fence. Okay, it don't have to be practical now. This is my mind going on. I was not thinking that I had been praying that I want to be more like Christ. I just was taking the abuse from the man, and I ended up going. My wife got there real quick. She just said, we'll be praying for him. Yes, honey, of course. And that's the way we respond. We know what that is. You pray for them that despitefully use you, yes. Sister Mary. Yes. I know that. It didn't help the way I felt. I didn't feel that way. That's not what I felt. And I went and I started telling the Lord about the way I felt. I was expressing this is that, wasn't that a good how you do? Yeah, right there. I've helped him. I've never done anything but good. And I would have picked the bones. I would have, if they said, hey, we need some help picking these, I would have picked the bones out of their yard. I always did. Wouldn't have been no problem.
Yes.
And I'm there saying to the Lord, isn't that a good thing? All I have done to them over the years was good. And they treat me like this. And you know, the voice of the Lord said, that's exactly what they did to me. And I thought,
that's right.
It is.
That's right. Yes.
You want to be more like me?
Mm-hmm.
Here's your chance.
Amen.
You haven't had an experience like mine. Now you do. Now what are you going to do with the experience? You want to follow Christ? You want to be more like Christ? I want to add something here to this because it's a monumental thing in the Scripture because I don't know of any other. Abraham, when he sacrificed Isaac.
Yes, he did.
You know what? Do you realize what God did for Abraham that he did for nobody else? Nobody else got to say. Our God, there is nothing like him. There can't be a symbol that likens anything to God. You can't have one. There are symbols of Herod was like a fox. You can't have a symbol for God. And yet God allowed Abraham to stand in the position of God. Isn't that an amazing love that God would allow Abraham to be in the position to stand as a type? For God Almighty, the Father, that's what he was doing right there in that sense. I'm saying in the same sense, Jesus says to me, I went through this, and I'm going to allow you in your prayers, I'm going to allow you to be more like Christ by allowing you to have an experience.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to say more. I didn't know the man very well.
Mm-hmm.
I tried from that point on to make friends with him.
Okay.
And he wouldn't have it.
He didn't want it.
No. He stayed upset for the longest time because his dog dug into my yard. It didn't make no sense to me. It's completely unreasonable. But something was clicked with him. The old devil will do anything.
Yes.
I want to tell you what ended up happening, though.
What happened, brother?
I never stopped. Uh-huh. Always was gracious with him.
Yes.
And finally got to learn more about him. Do you know that we actually ended up being very good friends?
Oh,
I mean, that's what we could be. He saw us working over there, and he wanted to come over and bring his ladder over, and he'd done all these things over this time. You know why? Because we responded like Christ. That's why.
So,
and then I got to learn something about him when he started telling me about he had a son that, and I think his son had died and the different things that he went through in his life. And I found out that he was a very disturbed. There was a lot of problems there in his life. And then I was able, instead of having feelings of some coot that was mad at me or his dog digging in the yard, that was the attitude of the flesh. I actually had Christ-like ideas of the man being saved and having pity on him because of the life, hard life that he went through. And had, let this mind be in you. Want to follow Christ? Can I tell you something? I'm not saying they're all bad. No system can get that to you. No preacher. They can preach how to, we edify, but no preacher can get that experience to you. You got to follow Christ. You have to follow Christ to get it. I press toward the mark, he says. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God, I got my nose set on something here. And this is what I'm going to do. Paul also says, if you want to back up there and read that, he said that I counted all. I had a pedigree. I had my resume. I had all these things. I counted all as lost. I counted all as done, that I might win Christ, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, that I can follow on, and I can follow on that, so I can make a testimony. We heard today about a mighty God. You can know a mighty God.
That's right.
If you follow Christ.
That's so.
You follow Christ and you can know the mighty God.
Yes.
We're not to follow anything else. Christ is our subject. Lord, help us to get this. There's so many diversions out there saying, this is over here, or over here, or you ought to do this, or you're going to do this. And so many of those things in my mind, and I'm not being critical. Lord, help me, I'm not being critical. But when I see them, and I look and see somebody's dogmas and somebody's things like that, and then I look close, and they don't have the evidence of it. They don't have the essential ideas of it. They don't have Christianity. I'm looking and saying, you do all those things. You take all those things that you believe, and yet you don't have the essence of loving your neighbor. And you don't have, you know what I'm saying? There's something lacking in there. Lord, help us that we follow Christ.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
And from that,
yes,
allow everything,
yes,
to blossom out.
Amen.
That we follow Christ.
Glory.
He said to his disciples, if I, your Lord and Master,
mm-hmm,
have washed your feet,
yes, sir,
then you ought, that's duty bound, ought. You ought to wash one another's feet. But it goes more than a foot washing. Foot washing was the symbol. How can you go lower on a person?
Yes.
It meant that you went to the lowest. This is the great. You went to the place. You humbled yourself. You cannot humble yourself no more, is what he said.
Right.
If I, your Lord and Master, humbling myself all the way down, and I wash your feet, I'm going to put a duty on you.
Yes.
That the spirit that I have in this moment is the spirit that you live your life with.
Yes.
This is what you monitor yourself with. And when others, when you get to those other places, you remember this, that I humbled myself before you,
yes,
and washed your feet. Would you allow the Lord to wash your feet? Peter said, no, Lord. You know how Peter was. Peter would go to one end and one extreme to another.
Yes.
Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Well, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing of me. Well, then wash me all over. Peter, don't need to wash you over. Just, I want to wash you. I'm going to wash your feet. I want you to get the meaning of this. That you're able to follow Christ.
Amen.
There's distraction. So Peter, was being there, told to the Lord, Peter, feed my sheep. You know, Lord, Peter, feed my lamb. Yes, Lord. Peter, you love me? Yes, you love me. I get your instructions. Well, that's good, but what's this guy going to do? You're distracted. I'm telling you, you're distracted. You don't need to worry about what somebody else is doing.
That's right, brother.
What's this guy going to do? What's John going to do?
Uh-huh.
But don't worry about John.
That's so
what did he tell him? Said, follow Peter.
Uh-huh.
Follow thou me.
That's so.
You don't need to know nothing about John. You're gonna have it hard enough. Just follow me. Follow me. I make you fishers of men. I'll turn you into what you need to be if you'll follow me. Lord, help us. Oh, I want to look at another scripture, I think, in Ephesians 5. I think of all of the distractions that are out there that are to pull us away from following the Lord, and it reminds me of the old mythology in Greek mythology of Odysseus, I think it was his name, and he was a sailor, and there was the land of the sirens. You ever hear of the siren call? And probably where our word siren comes from today, but it was I think the mythology was, I don't remember, it was a part woman, it was part human, but I don't remember what the mythology exactly was. But they had these very intriguing, alluring voices that they sung with, and there's different stories in it. But what would happen, sailors would come sailing by, and they would hear this alluring cry, and they would sail towards that, and they would lure them in, and their ships would crash into the rocks, and there was a... And it goes down, in, as many of those kind of things does, into our understanding that we warn against the siren call. It's there to distract you from your necessary following Christ. It doesn't have to be a big thing. Sometimes it's very small things. Sometimes it's not the abominable sins, or it's not the hideous things. It's the simple human things. Get another buck. Take on another thing. Hold your ground. Do those kind of things. But the siren call, the story was, I think of Odysseus, he put wax in his men's ears, I think the story was. He filled their ears full of wax, and he tied himself to the mast. So he was tied and couldn't do nothing, and he had them sail by so that he could hear that without being pulled in. And it, like I said, it goes down through history as a warning that there's a siren call to pull us and take us away from the purpose that we basically have. We ought to set our goal, set our face like a flint, that this is what our goal is, and this is what it is, and I'm not going to allow the devil to cause my neighbors to get riled up about something and get me off of my focus to follow Christ. Lord, help me to follow Christ through this. I'm not going to allow other congregational members. I'm not going to let my family. I'm not going to let my family and people around. I'm not going to let them take away my mind here of my following Christ. Because that's my hope. That's all what we need to do is follow the Lord. In Ephesians 5, it says, maybe I can back up just a little bit to give this context. Let him that stole steal no more, 28 of 4. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to the may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that ye be good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. 5:1. Be ye therefore, because of all this, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.
Yes.
Now what could possibly be the idea of a dear child?
Yes.
A child represents something. We had a Bible study up home recently, and we talked about it in Sunday school or something, but we talked about where Jesus put the child in the midst. You know, the child was there. What was that all about? The child was a symbol. It was like this is saying something. Are you listening? This is the idea I got from it. It's saying something. Wisdom cries. Eighth of Proverbs. Wisdom cries. It's not silent. Wisdom cries. Do you know in our world today, wisdom is still crying?
Yes, sir.
Wisdom is saying, if you listen, folks. Now, I don't promote this. I'm just going to use it because it's worldly, but we'll use it anyway. It's an example. There was an old song. This is Simon Garfunkel song, and he wrote the song. It's probably a little anti-war song, but it was called The Sound of Silence. And in the song, it said, and they bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And what he's talking about was that in that day and time, people would just hear it, just taking whatever it was. The old neon, they bowed and prayed to that thing, and they took all of this information and all this, and it was all corrupt. That's what the writer was trying to think. And what he was saying is that the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. He was trying to say, it's talking, but you ain't listening. You're falling for something, and over here is just a simple graffiti of normal people is trying to tell you the truth, and you're not listening. So I say that in this sense. Jesus put a child in front of it and said, this child is speaking, and you're not listening. This child, in its humble, simple, innocent way, if you'll listen, be ye followers of God as dear children. In this same sense, will you listen? There's a value to this child. It's trying to speak to you to say, how long does a child hold a grudge? Can little children fight? You know what I'm saying? Children fight. Me and my brother fought. Me and sisters fought. We fought that. But we're still brothers and sisters, and the next day we were still playing. Do we not hold no grudge against nobody? You're talking 5 years old, 6 years old. You get mad because somebody took your toy, you fight over your toy, whatever it was. But how long did you keep it? Honestly, how long does a child keep a grudge?
They don't keep it, brother.
I don't keep no grudge.
No, brother.
Be followers of God as dear children.
That's right.
I lay yourself down. Children don't do that, act like that.
You say,
in a lot of ways, you don't want to be a child. There's scripture for that, too.
But this is
the illustration here. Follow God as dear children.
Yes.
Listen to what this is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Humble yourself.
Yeah.
Don't hold no grudge. Things happen. Let it go. Be Christ-like. Did Jesus hold a grudge? Did Jesus hold any grudges? Was Jesus ill-willed? Did Jesus say, I'm going to get back at you? I'm kind of in my man mode now. You wait till I get back into the God mode. I'm going to strike. Jesus wasn't like that. He didn't call fire down on people that done things to him. He wasn't in that mode. He said, Father, God is dear children. Lord, help us.
Yes, yes, amen.
Scripture over in... I think I want Matthew 5. I don't know how to express all the Word of God, for sure. But I told somebody one time, he was talking about Bible, and I gave him a Bible verse. I gave him a Bible verse, and I quoted it.
Okay.
I quoted it. And they said, well, I don't believe that like you do. How do I believe it? I didn't say no. I quoted the scripture. I don't believe it. Well, I quoted it. I said, okay. Let's at least start on this ground. It means something, don't it? Yeah. Well, we needed to find out what it means. Because it means something. There is a place to put it. Lord, help us to put the Word of God in its right place. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to know what this is. And Jesus, in this, is the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most monumental passages of the whole scripture to teach us life.
Yes.
It's the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. And this is the wording of things that Jesus said in 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. Well, Brother Marty, I don't believe that like you do. Brother, I just read it. I mean, you got to say it means something. Resist not evil. You can resist evil if you want to, but this means something. So he says, resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Okay, then you tell me what that means. I just read it. It means something.
Yeah.
We need to know what that means. I want to be like Christ.
Yes.
To follow Christ. Lord, help us. It means something. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away that coat, let him have that cloak also. Okay? I ain't giving nobody to take my coat. I ain't going to give them my cloak. So that don't mean that. Okay, but it means something. What does it mean? I don't want to be guilty of dismissing Christ. I had a guy say to me one time, he was very religious, devout. He was a Sunday school teacher. And he told me that somebody, and he thought he knew who it was sneaking down to his house at night and stealing gas out of his vehicle. And he said, I sat out there last night with my shotgun, and he said, it ready to come last night. He said, I was going to blast him. And I thought, if a man walk with thee a mile, or if a man compel thee to walk with him a mile, walk with him 20, but if he steals your gas, shoot him. It doesn't seem to line up to me, and I need to know, because I'm serious about it. I need to know. Is that an acceptable? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Because it doesn't seem right to me. This is very difficult. This is devout. This is having standards. This is having certain things in your life. It's certain things you do, certain things you don't do, and yet you're going to shoot somebody over gas. I said no. I said I know what I'd do. If I knew who stole it, I'd go buy a can of gas. I'd get a can of gas, and I'd go to him and I'd offer him a can of gas, and then I'd tell him, don't do that. And it ain't just because it's my gas. It's because it's wrong. And it's wrong for you. You can witness to it that way, but here, I want to give this to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it means something.
Yes.
Let's not just dismiss it. So whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 20. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Means something. You have heard it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, listen, Lord help us. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Now I want to realize, this, that in the scriptures there is categories. There's boxes. Right? It actually says much more the household of faith. To love, there is love in categories. And you may be in the enemy category of my boxes. But I'm still supposed to love you. And I want to express the love here. Love does not mean that I have to force myself into some giddy emotional feeling about you. That's not what this means. Because when we try to get into the gushies, you're going to miss it. It's not gushy and it never will be gushy. What this means is the same way hate in the scripture represents depreciating. It's no value, worthless. When they despised the land of Israel, or when they despised the Canaan land, they didn't sit around gritting their teeth and hating it. They despised it in the sense that they devalued it till they wouldn't fight for it. They wouldn't get it when God had promised it. And so they devalued it. This is the opposite. And what he's saying here in this is to love your enemy is to put value on them.
Yes.
That's what the love is. It puts value. They aren't worthless. This one that's stealing my gas is not worthless to shoot like a dog. This is a human being with a soul. And it's just like, would I shoot my own child? I mean, you got to have worth and value. Put value and worth in Christ. Follow Christ.
Amen.
What does Christ think of that one?
Yes.
He thought enough of him to die on a cross.
Yes, that's the truth.
Lord, help me to think enough about him.
Yes.
To have the right thought in my heart about him. Love your enemy means value. I don't have to try to put value, folks, on my wife. She has value. I love her, and the value's increased. But this says value your enemy. That's hard sometimes. And it's the devil will distract you from that. And the devil will distract so much that he'll contest every bit of what I just read.
Yes.
That's not plausible to live human life with. And yet Jesus performed every bit of it.
Yes,
in the process of trying to show us how to be Christ-like. Lord, help us. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And I hate to say this, but this is this way, but it's true. If you wanted good Christian people to be attentive to you and pray for you, right here it is. I mean, you despitefully use them and they should be praying for you. Now, I don't recommend that. That'd be a rotten thing to do. But I'm telling you, this is on us. Because Christ looked down on this sin-sick, desperate world and gave himself for it. And while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us.
Thank you.
And to be Christ-like means that we will pursue that nature, even in this situation, and not be distracted because it hurts or because it's humiliating or because I'm put in a bad way, but I will do what I'm supposed to. There was an example of this. His name was Stephen. Stephen was an example of the Lord. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and he preached a stern message. And they begin to stone him to death. I'm so glad this scripture is in the Bible because it's pretty easy to say the Son of God had the grace and ability to be able to forgive his persecutors and say, Father, forgive them. But yet, this was a man, and he had the Holy Ghost. And this man was able to say, lay not this to the charge. He had grace enough that he still had value on those that were throwing the rocks. About to take him out into eternity, and he still had grace for it, signifying that we can have the same power and grace in our life. I'm going to wrap up here. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be, I love this scripture,
yes.
That you may be children of your Father.
Yes.
What? Whoa. I mean, you know what? They used to call me a chip all black. The older I get, the more I seem like I look like my dad. I actually walk sometimes. I feel like I'm walking like dad. I mean, like I got a right to. It was my dad.
There you go, brother.
I mean, if anything, this is saying here, do these things that you can be like your father.
Yes.
That you may be children of you. That you have the heritage.
That's
you
so.
You're doing what God does. Do these things.
Yes.
You know, I always use this illustration on this scripture, but I remember hearing about the out in the Pacific Northwest how the salmon make their runs. They run and they lay eggs up the tributaries of the Pacific, and the studies have shown that, you know, the eggs, they go up there and die in the process of laying the eggs and fertilizing them, and the eggs come out of these millions and millions of hatchlings that make their way down out of there and go into the ocean, and they go for 3 years, they swim around in the ocean and they get big, and they grow up and they get big, and studies have shown that they will not go up a tributary that they didn't come down. They go back to the place of their hatching. Nobody really knows how they know and do that, but studies have shown that they go back that because they're children of their father, and they do the exact same their fathers did.
Yes.
They do it in the same place. They do it the same way.
Yes.
It's because that's what's in them to do it.
Yes.
This is saying, be the children of your father.
Mm-hmm.
Do these things, and you'll be children of your father.
Yes.
Follow Christ.
That's so.
You'll be a child of God.
Yes.
This is the value in all the distractions that the world has for us. Trying to distract us out and make religion so much what it's not. This is the nutshell. It's following Christ.
Amen.
In our lives. So he says, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? See how this transcends humanity.
Yeah.
This isn't humanity. This is God.
Amen.
And it's transcending human behavior.
Yeah.
And saying you don't just love those that look. How is that? Is that are we to be impressed by that? I seen a film of Hitler one time. He loved a dog. He had a German Shepherd. He loved on that dog. He's there petting on it, loving on it. Loved his dog. So, I mean, it ain't nothing to love the things that love you. He said, look, go beyond that. Christ died for us while we were everything he's not.
Mm-hmm.
In the process to make us what he'd have us to be. I'm going to finish. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Will you pray for me?